BJ, and I would like to welcome you to our show, Just Stuff. This show is about ordinary people just like you, just like me, combining our efforts in a positive way to make our community better, one day at a time, through conversation, encouragement, resources, empowerment, and just plain talk. Remember, you are the best part of this show.
Good morning, Central Louisiana. All of you that are hearing my voice this morning, how awesome it is. This is not a day the Lord woke up and said, let me give them a Tuesday morning. No, this is the day the Lord made at the beginning of time when he said, let there be light. So if you're here this morning hearing my voice, you were already planned in purpose from the beginning of time. So I pray you're having a blessed morning, and I pray you'll be a blessing to someone today. I'm so grateful and thankful to continue our conversation from last week on spirituality and mental health. And joining me again this morning, it's a blessing to have Dr. Francis Powell, who has come to Louisiana by way of Mississippi.
Yes, yes.
And we're grateful and thankful. He and his wife are residents here in Alexandria. So thank you, Dr. Powell, for joining me again this morning. We're going to go even farther.
Yeah. Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be back. I enjoyed our discussion last week.
Awesome.
Okay. And, I think if I could start the central message last week when we were talking about David and Elijah, the central message in that was that, you know, strong faith, you know, doesn't immune us from
yes.
having emotional struggles. And today, I would like to take that one step further.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You know, sometimes emotional pain isn't just about what we're experiencing today. Sometimes we carry wounds from what happened to us yesterday. And sometimes families and communities develop ways of coping with pain that are passed down from one generation to another generation. So that's why our conversation about trauma today is so important. And what I would like to talk about today is when we hear the phrase generational
mm-hmm.
trauma, okay, and what that simply means is in simple terms, generational trauma is when the effect of trauma is passed down from one generation
mm-hmm.
to the next generation. Okay, so. How does that work? What do we mean when we say that, you know, trauma is passed from one generation to the next generation? How is that possible? How does that happen? But when we think about what happens in families, okay, we pass down stories, okay, we pass down traditions, we pass down beliefs, and we also pass down ways of coping. Which is well, but sometimes we also pass down silence, fear, mistrust, anger, okay? And those survival strategies that we develop because previous generations had to go through and suffer terrible things. And we talked about that last week, particularly I think in the African American community, generational trauma and trauma itself become particularly significant because of our history.
Mm-hmm.
You know, dealing with, you know, racial violence, segregation, economic exclusion, community violence, incarceration, and a lot of
mm-hmm.
other forms of chronic stress. So our ancestors developed tremendous resilience to survive. But survival, as I tried to allude to last week, survival and healing aren't always the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people survive physically while still carrying with them deep emotional wounds. So that's why today I think Joseph fits into that conversation. Joseph is one of the most powerful biblical stories for discussing trauma. And I want to be careful here that, you know, the Bible doesn't diagnose Joseph, mm-hmm. you know, with PTSD or depression or any other mental condition. So we shouldn't do that ourselves, but we can recognize that Joseph experienced events we would describe today as being deeply traumatic.
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
Think about what happened to Joseph. Okay? His own brothers hated him. Mm-hmm. Okay, these were not strangers. These were his brothers. Okay? The people who were supposed to be his family turned against him. Now, we talk about trauma as it relates to the younger generation today. Okay, let's go back to Joseph. Now, the things that we're talking about, what happened to Joseph? Joseph was an adolescent when these things were happening to him. He was about 15, 16, 17 years old when some of these things happened to him. So his brothers hated him. They didn't like him. The people that you would expect to find refuge and safety wasn't there for Joseph. So what did they do? They threw him in a pit. Mm-hmm. Okay, they even talked about killing him. Okay. They sold him into slavery. Think about that. Joseph was taken away from his father, his home, his culture, and everything that was familiar to him. The trauma didn't stop there. Mm. It continued on. After all this had happened, he was falsely accused. Okay, he was falsely accused of sexual assault by Potiphar's wife. Okay. And after that, Joseph was sent to prison. After spending some time in prison, Joseph helped a couple of people while he was in prison. And when they was released, Joseph said, "Hey, don't forget about me. Mm-hmm. Tell them what I did for you, and maybe they could help me out of this situation." So let's look at the pattern with Joseph. Okay. And I think a lot of young people today can relate to a lot of these things. Okay, first there was rejection, okay, betrayal, family separation, loss, slavery, false accusation, imprisonment, injustice, and that's trauma upon trauma. So how does that relate with what people are experiencing today?
Mm-hmm.
Well, trauma causes people to change, okay? It can affect the way we trust and the way that we form relationships. It affects the way that we respond to anger, okay? It affects how we see ourselves. And sometimes behavior that on the outside looks dysfunctional today originally developed as ways of surviving yesterday. So a lot of times when we see maybe kids acting out or behaving in ways that appear to be pathological or dysfunctional to us, okay, well that's cause and effect to those type of behaviors that we see. So sometimes we need to ask questions, particularly as it relates in the African American community. Sometimes we need to ask what has happened to this family, okay? Not simply what's wrong with this family or what's wrong with this person, but what has happened to this person? Okay, what losses have occurred? Has there been any violence? Is there any addiction? Was there any history of abandonment? Okay, what discriminations that they have to overcome? Were anybody in their family incarcerated, particularly significant others, parents, fathers, mothers? Were there any incarceration there? What secrets have people carried? Okay, what grief that has never been discussed? See, those questions don't exclude harmful behaviors, but they help us understand where some of these behaviors come from.
That is so great, yeah. Dr. Powell. Mm-hmm. That is so great, because we definitely can see that manifest in our children today. And I would hope that those of you who are listening, that you really would take these things into account, and the fact that you brought out that Joseph was a teenager. I just love the way you're making the stories, the record of the people of the Bible, so human, and we can relate to that. And so I would hope that for our listening audience, that they would really begin to take a look at some of the things that you are just mentioning. Not what's wrong, but what has happened in that child's life. And we see that time after time in the classroom.
Yes.
Even with kids getting into things outside of the classroom or at home. And I would just implore the church to begin to look at that as well.
Right.
And we know about death and dying. We know about, kids being desensitized to these traumatic things that happen in our community, so that the church can begin to properly address what is going on with our young people, what is going on with our adults.
Yes, yes.
That is such a great point that you're making.
Right. And you're absolutely right. Now, with Joseph, eventually he reaches a place of forgiveness. And I think that's important too, in recovering from traumatic experiences. Okay, now, and this is where I think Joseph's story is often misunderstood.
Mm.
And I think that we can relate this to today's youth sometimes, particularly those youth who may be struggling. We think that what we're seeing, they're displaying in their lives at
mm-hmm.
this moment
mm.
Is their destiny. This is how
mm-hmm.
they're always
mm-hmm.
going to be. Okay, and it is seldom that way. In Joseph's story, what was misunderstood that years later, and we're not talking about the forgiveness process. Sometimes it doesn't happen
mm-hmm.
in a day or a week. Okay, even much. Sometimes it says it years,
mm-hmm.
years later. Okay, years later, Joseph meets his brother again.
Mm-hmm.
His brothers again. He said, "You intended to harm me, okay?
Mm.
But God intended it for good." Now, it's interesting what Joseph does not say, and this is what I want young kids to hear. He didn't say nothing happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say that. Okay, he didn't say that you didn't hurt me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He doesn't say that what happened to him wasn't bad. He names it. He said, "You intended to harm me.
Mm-hmm.
You intended to hurt me." And that's important, okay, because healing doesn't require denial.
Mm.
Right? Forgiveness doesn't require pretending something wasn't wrong. Okay? We're all fallible. We all make mistakes. It doesn't require us to pretend that we didn't have bad parents.
Yes.
Okay, and sometimes we have to understand that. I know in my own case, a lot of times as a child, you think as a child, and we sometimes might not look at the human side
mm-hmm.
of our parents, that they're fallible, that they make mistakes, they make wrong choices and wrong decisions. Okay, so it's not necessary to deny that those things didn't happen. Okay, so forgiveness doesn't require pretending that something wasn't wrong. Joseph acknowledged the evil while recognizing that the evil in his life didn't get the
yes,
final word.
Yes.
And I think that's important. Okay, because sometimes as Christians, I think we think forgiveness means I have to act like nothing happened.
Yes.
Okay, and no, you can forgive. And still acknowledge the hurt, acknowledge the
mm-hmm.
wound. You can forgive, but still establish boundaries, healthy boundaries. You can forgive and seek counseling. You can forgive and still need time to heal. So that's what I think Joseph teaches us about trauma. Okay. So what happens to you matters. Okay, but what happens to you isn't all that's all that you are. Okay, in Joseph's story, he Joseph went into the pit. Okay, the Bible tells us, but he didn't. He wasn't destined to remain there.
Mm-hmm.
You may be in the abyss now, but that's not your final destiny. You're not mm-hmm. you're not destined to remain there. He went to prison, but that wasn't his final chapter. And throughout Joseph's story, Scripture repeatedly reminds us that the Lord was with him, that God present didn't mean Joseph avoided suffering. Okay, it meant Joseph wasn't abandoned in his suffering. And I think that's an important distinction. You know, sometimes we may ask when we're going through hardship, when we're going through a hard time, is God still with me? Why am I going through this? Okay, and I think Joseph's story reminds us that God's presence can be among us even when human suffering is there. I think the two can exist.
Mm-hmm. And so, Dr. Francis, mm-hmm. would you address, is it okay to question God? Is it okay to ask God, why am I going through this? What is it? Why, God? You know, we have that why question.
Yes, yes.
Why me? Or why did this happen? Would you address that?
Absolutely. You certainly can. And I think most of us do. And we may even think, well, if I'm asking these hard mm-hmm. questions, mm-hmm. Okay, God, where are you? Why is this happening to me? Is that an indicator of how deep, how strong my faith is? What's interesting brings us to another story that I want to mention, and that's the story of Job.
Yes.
Okay. Now Job, I'm going to ask you the question. If you allow me, I'm going to answer it the long way. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Now Joseph takes us to another dimension of trauma. Okay. Now,
wow.
In Joseph's case, we're looking at catastrophic loss. We're looking at catastrophic grief, okay? The amount of loss. Okay, so sometimes we talk about Job so much in church that I think we lose sight of what actually happened to this man.
Yes.
Okay? And here's where it comes in. When you look at Job, okay, his children die. Okay? Here is a father who has to bury his children, okay? Think about that for a minute. He loses his financial security, okay? Then his health begins to deteriorate. His normal life disappears in a very short period of time.
Yes.
Okay. Now, from a mental health perspective, that's not simple grief. That's multiple traumatic losses occurring together.
Wow.
Okay? Now, imagine what that does to a person psychologically. Your sense of safety is gone. Your family has been devastated. Your body is failing you. The future you thought you had no longer exists. Now, the Job I want to talk about, okay, it's not simply, you know, we hear the story about Job, and through all of this, Job maintained his faith. And that part is good. But that's not the part of the story that I want to talk about. I want to ask the question based on what you just asked earlier. What happens to a human being, okay, when almost everything that gave his life stability is suddenly taken away, okay? What type of emotional struggles happens to a person who is experiencing that, okay? Well, the Bible tells us that Job responded like somebody who is in emotional stress would respond. Okay, he grieved deeply.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he becomes angry. He's confused.
Yes.
Okay, and at one point his distress is so great that he wished he had never been born.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so when I read that as a mental health professional, I don't immediately see a man who has weak faith.
Mm-hmm.
I see a man in tremendous emotional pain. Okay, and that's the important distinction. Sometimes I think we treat emotional response to trauma as though something is wrong with the person, okay? And someone experiencing devastating loss go through things. They can't sleep. They become irritable. They think about what has happened, okay? And then they might ask, well, why is this happening to me? Mm-hmm. God, where are you? Okay, I think these are normal emotional responses when traumatic events and traumatic things happen to us. So, now, what about Job questioning God? You know, what you said earlier. How do we understand that from a mental health perspective? Mm-hmm. Well, what does that mean? I think that we need to give permission to ask these difficult questions.
Yes.
Okay, and I think Job did that. Okay, we're always trying to understand what the traumatic event means, but sometimes we ask questions like, "Well, why does this happen?" Mm-hmm. Okay, when something bad happens, you know, we ask, "Well, could I have done anything mm-hmm. to prevent it?" And we have to be very careful of that mindset. And I think we do it sometimes when someone is in a traumatic environment or traumatic situation. We might ask the woman who's in an abusive relationship, mm-hmm. well, why are you staying in that relationship? Mm-hmm. Okay, and we might thank a child who has been molested, and we think, well, why didn't you tell somebody mm-hmm. that this was going on? Mm-hmm. Okay, and I think that's the wrong approach to take. Now let's look at stand with the story of Job. What happened to him? Okay, well, first of all, his friends come by and
yes.
they visit with him. They sit yes. for a while. Now that part is good. They sometimes when you're going through something traumatic, you don't want to feel alone. You want to feel that someone is there. Okay, it's important to have that connection. We discussed that mm-hmm. last week. Okay, so initially the friends did the right thing. They're there with Job. But then they start talking. Okay.
Yes.
And when they did that, things kinda went south a little bit. You know, the friends start, I think in a well meaning way, they ask, well, Job, you must have done
mm-hmm.
something,
mm-hmm.
okay? You must have done something mm-hmm. For all of these things to happen to you. And I think that is where we fall short. And,
mm-hmm.
and because sometimes the situation is hard to understand.
Yes.
Now, we see this upright man, and we see all these things happening to him. You must have done something to cause this situation
yes.
you're in. You made the choice to start using drugs. You made the choice to do this. You made the choice to do that. And so bad things result from that. Well, that's certainly cause and effect
yes.
in things, okay? But when it leads to trauma, right, sometimes those are the wrong questions to ask, you know? And a better question to ask is what do we do now?
Mm-hmm.
How do we move from this place? Okay. So I think the story with Job, particularly with his friend, shows us both what to do and what not to do.
Yes.
Okay. Like I said before, at first they sit with him. They don't
mm-hmm.
try to fix him. You
mm-hmm.
know, they just listen. Then they start talking and all those
mm-hmm.
kinds of things. Okay. And that's where the problems happen. So I think a trauma-informed approach is to ask different questions. You know, instead of asking what happened to you, I mean, you should ask what happened to you and how is what happened to you affecting you today.
Mm-hmm.
I think these are much more compassionate questions to ask.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Awesome. I love the way you said that, you know, just sit listening was a good thing. But once the conversation starts, we must be equipped or at least have some knowledge as to how what we say can help move the person forward,
right,
and not maybe cause them to have even more grief,
right,
or think about the situation more deeply as blaming themselves or blaming others. So it's important to know if you really don't know what to say, listening is always good.
Right.
Listening is always a good thing, and allow that individual maybe to express how they feel, and not even feel that you have to make a response.
Yeah.
Just have a good be an active listener.
Yes. Right. You don't have to have the perfect words. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You have to understand that there's no timetable to grief, okay?
Mm.
You don't put that on a timetable. So it's important to listen, okay? Like I said, you don't have to have the perfect words. Okay? Sometimes listening in and of itself can demonstrate compassion. Mm-hmm. And understanding the progression of
mm-hmm.
grief, okay,
mm-hmm.
and what triggers it, okay? There's a term that we talk about. We call post-traumatic stress disorder, and complex post-traumatic stress disorder is long after the event has occurred, you're still experiencing the effects
mm-hmm.
of the trauma, and there's things that can affect those conditions, birthdays, anniversaries, holidays, okay, certain smells. Okay, certain songs. I can hear a song today, especially the oldie but goodies. It takes
yes.
me back to my undergraduate years when I was a student in college and things like that. So those kinds of things can certainly have an effect in triggering a certain emotion. But don't assume because someone is functioning well that they're not grieving. Okay,
mm-hmm.
that we don't want to think that, and sometimes we can simply say, I think I want to quote a lyric to one of Gladys Knight's old songs. She said, "I may not have the answer, but I can help you make
mm-hmm.
it easier to find." So, I think what that says is, I may not could explain to you why all these things are happening, okay?
Yes.
But what I can do, I can listen to you, and I can be there to support you, and together maybe we can search for the answers together.
Awesome.
Yes.
And Dr. Francis, PTSD is not just a military term. We normally associate it with someone that have gone through great trauma in the military, but you are speaking to the fact that it could happen in civilian life, in regular life, in daily life when we experience trauma. Can you address that?
Oh, absolutely. Well, I think the term started with the military because what they were seeing, you know, particularly those people who were exposed to combat, war, and the
mm-hmm.
trauma with that. They start noticing that these person was displaying similar symptoms once they left the military: nightmares, hypervigilance, and all those kinds of things. So they relate to that traumatic event was still with them even
mm-hmm.
after the experience itself was over. And we certainly can relate that with in civilian life, particularly in communities where there's high rates of violence,
yes.
where there's high rates of poverty, where there's high rates of marginalization, where you're seeing dysfunction in every turn. Those kind of things have negative effects on our psychic, on our sense of safety, our sense
yes.
of well-being, right? And it affects how we behave, like I mentioned earlier. It affects our willingness or our ability to trust. It affects
mm-hmm.
our willingness or our ability to be able to establish and maintain healthy relationships.
Yes.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
And if you're exposed to trauma for a prolonged period of time,
mm-hmm.
then the dysfunction appears normal. Okay,
mm-hmm.
you think that that's the normal way things are supposed
mm-hmm.
to be, when it's not. So yes, we certainly can see that in civilian life.
So awesome. We always get to Job's faith, and we get to the end of his story mm-hmm. before we really go through what you're speaking to us about, yeah. to relate, to really relate. We can relate to the faith, the spirituality of Job, but we really have to understand on a human level what he went through.
Yeah.